Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learn, number 63.
Number 63.
That's one less than the number you'd need to make a Nintendo 64.
Yeah, yeah, almost 64, but yeah. Not. It's one.
Almost. One. Not divisible by 8, I think. I'm no math guy.
Yeah, I'm not.
We're
a scientist.
Fact guys. That's just the facts. Guys, anyway, guys, we got a fantastic show for you today. We're back in action, back in your earpieces, back in your life,
yeah.
And you're back at work, presumably, unless you have the day off, in which case, hell yeah, way to have a Sunday on a Monday.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah,
4-day weekend,
4-day weekend, 5-day weekend,
17-day weekend, unemployment check.
I live my life from a rascal scooter. Anyway, we got a great guy on today. I did not know him before coming in, but I'm glad he came in. He was a super fun guy, super rad, and one of the creative minds behind one of the cooler new shows in the Los Angeles area, a little show called The Goddamn Comedy Jam,
which
I highly recommend you check out. Basically, it is comedians do a set of stand-up, and then they perform a song.
Yeah, it's like it's pretty much like it's comedy mixed live band karaoke almost.
Yeah, exactly.
There's like 4 or 5 comedians and they do a 10-minute set of stand up comedy, mm-hmm. and they'd be very, very funny. And then they on the same stage they sing a awesome song with a live band and the audience loves it and they generally sing along.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Really, really fun. Really fun. I've been to a few of them. Josh has been a friend of mine since I met him when I first moved, when I moved to Los Angeles. We met on the comedy circuit. We do stand up here and there together. And, wanted to have him on and help plug that show because it's a really, really fun show. And he's a really cool guy.
Nice. I'm also loving your NPR tone right
NPR
now.
NPR tone.
And coming up next, some smooth jazz from... Yukon.
I've been listening to Serial, so I really...
Oh, yeah. I have been listening to Serial.
I haven't, but...
Hey, guys. On the real, I know everyone on social media is talking about it and probably annoying the shit out of you with it. Like, it's probably the too many cooks of podcast at this point, as far as many are concerned. But it is fantastic. Really, really good stuff. So give that a listen after you listen to every one of our episodes.
Yeah. Every one of our episodes, after you rate and listen to them, then listen to Serial.
We've hidden a clue... about Hay and Adnan somewhere within
the podcast.
I'm not going to tell you which episode.
For Big Boy Did It.
From Outkast?
No, from Dick Tracy. Big Boy
okay.
Did It. Big Boy Did It.
Gotcha.
Big Boy Did It.
Dumbledore is dead.
Yeah.
Snape killed Trinity with Rosebud. Anyway.
Very fun episode. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening, as usual, and enjoy.
Without further ado,
Today We Learned, number 63, with Josh Adam Myers.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
I mean, like, I love the Foo Fighters, and I know they legitimately have, like, new songs coming out now. But even when they don't have, like, a docuseries or, like, a new album coming out, I feel like every 2 months they have a new song coming out.
They're very...
Like, they're always, like...
They're pretty prolific.
They're on top of their shit, man.
Like, they got it on lock.
But you gotta love Dave Grohl. You have to love... I love him so much.
He's such a cool dude.
Even if I'm not, like... Even if I don't really... care for their music as much as some of my friends, I still appreciate and respect what Dave Grohl does.
He runs his career like an old jazz musician, which is never stay with the same group, constantly move.
Yeah.
You know, like the Nirvana thing, of course, that had to come to an end, but it's like, but like everything else after that, it's just been, I want to play with these guys. Yeah. I want to play drums with Tenacious D.
Yeah.
I want to play bass with this band. He's just constantly moving and he's got to just have the most interesting life, man. Just and he looks like he's a fun guy to be around.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, he's got like two or three daughters that he does dad duty. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and he just seems like a cool dude. Like, their shows,
like they're just a straight up music band. Like there's no like they don't wear costumes or like which I'm all for, you know, like putting on a show.
I'm all for
like antics and like sets and like stairs like Poison and all that, you know, whatever. But Dave Grohl, like the Foo Fighters, they'll just wear their like jeans and t-shirts and play with lights.
Yeah, I guess my biggest complaint is that they don't wear Slipknot masks.
If there was a choice between either killing my mom or eating his asshole, I'd eat his asshole.
Oh, wow. I mean, sorry, Mom.
But I wouldn't. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't even be. It would be like, no, you, of course. Yeah, I'll eat his asshole.
And I love, like the whole Taylor Swift thing I was just reading. Like, I understand Taylor Swift's point of taking her music off Spotify and all that because it was a best-selling album of 2014.
Was it?
Yeah, her new album. I mean, broke records and all of that because she...
Bigger than Beck... Morning View. Me and three other people bought that record. Bigger than that? I don't think so.
Somehow.
The Nielsen scan charts are way off.
Yeah.
Right?
So I understand that because, you know, artists should make their money. But I read a thing with Dave Grohl yesterday or 2 days ago, and they're like, he weighs in, and the interview, like, obviously, you know, the interviewer is asking him, prying to, get, you know, get some, cause some turmoil. And he's just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if they pay $2 or $20. Listen to my music and come see me play live.
Yeah. Like, he's like, I'm busy directing documentaries. I don't have time for this.
It's actually a good documentary.
Yeah. Like, Sonic, Sonic Highways.
There's not one thing that's not interesting about every interview. It's terrific. Like,
and what's really awesome about it too is like a lot of musicians, they go to the standards like Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, the Ramones. Oh, they were influences. Like, they're going across the board to influences from, like, garage punk bands that Dave Grohl seen that nobody's heard of and centering on them and you know, spreading their music, you know, catalog and to blues, you know, blues artists in New Orleans and stuff like that. It's just, like, so goddamn cool.
I'm in love with it. I love him. I want to eat his ass, basically. You don't have to hold a gun to my mom's head. I'm just...
That's a fact, Dave Grohl.
Yeah. Dave Grohl, if you're listening...
Keep it up.
I have a feeling are you already recording this? So I just told
we're always recording.
That's what's funny is we don't like to say a start. No. We just you know. No. So tell
it's
us
like
about
ease
who's,
on it.
What rock star's ass would you like to eat?
Yeah,
this whole show
it's
is
a free interview.
Engelbert Humperdinck. What do you think about his asshole? Engelbert Humperdinck.
Gaping.
The name of this podcast will be. Josh said he'd eat Dave Grohl's asshole, and you won't believe what happens
next.
But wouldn't you?
Like, I mean, what kind of... that's a conversation starter at, like, a dinner party that's gone dull.
Yeah.
By the way,
Dave Grohl's asshole. It's like, I walked out of... I seen Interstellar. Or I saw Interstellar. I always confuse the scene versus saw, but I walked out of the midnight showing, the first viewing, and I'm just like, I would probably... give Chris Nolan an over-the-pants HJ, you know, no questions asked. Like, I would totally do that because it's that good of a movie to me. My mind was just so blown. I'm like, yeah, I would jerk him off.
I don't see – here's the thing I think about Interstellar that's funny is that, like, I don't see it making a lot of money because I just can imagine, like, because it's so layered and there's so much scientific, like, facts that you just either have to know or at least have to say accept the idea of that. I can just imagine, like, all this, like a bunch of, like, cholos going to that movie because you know they are. Like, no, honey, let's go see Interstellar.
Man.
And they're like, okay, I don't understand. What is this, a wormhole? Like, what is this bullshit, man? You know, gravity I liked, man. It's get out of space, down there. But even that was kind of hard to under.
But for all the lack of Batman and the weird science and pseudoscience in there, you still got to give it up for those, like, massive, sprawling, like, space vistas just see, like, the spaceship flying against, like, the backdrop of Saturn.
And it was so small.
Like, I had my issues with the movie, but even, like, those aside, I was like, well, shit, this is amazing to see on IMAX and 70mm.
I've seen it twice. In the theater already. I saw it the first night it came out at midnight, and I saw it the next morning.
Yeah.
And then I watched it, like, twice on bootleg.
Okay.
Because I just wanted to hear the score from it, because I love the score, and the score hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's so many parts. Like, that last scene, I remember the first time I saw that last scene, it just... I didn't say I didn't believe it. That was, like, one thing I was kind of... I don't want to ruin it for people that haven't seen it, but, you know, that's a part that just so many... We live in Los Angeles where there's so many cholos going to see movies constantly. Not at the Arclight, thank God. Keep that white. We like keeping the Arclight white. But I'm just kidding, listeners. But like at the
ring,
Grove.
Ring, ring, ring.
By the way, and I'll tell you guys this, and I'll tell the listeners out there this, I haven't paid for a movie in like 4 months. I just walk right in.
Oh, wow.
It's just about being confident. If you look like you're supposed to be there, no one's going to stop
just
you.
Hold up a ticket
and
stub.
That's why Interstellar is going to make $0.
They just passed $200 million.
Really?
Yeah.
That kind of surprises me because there is a lot of like 50-50 of people liking or not liking it or getting it, whereas, you know, I mean, it is a three-hour, you know, orchestra piece.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's like Christopher Nolan's 2001 A Space Odyssey fiction is what it is.
Yeah.
But no, I think that the problem with it is a lot of people were going in, it was so hyped up in advance, and people were expecting, like, this movie will change how you view cinema. And it won't. It's a fun movie. It's a movie that is best served seeing on a big screen. It's getting some great performances, got some cool ideas, got some amazing visuals and beautiful score, but it's not reinventing the wheel.
This is just me. Because I did the same thing when Gravity, like, when Gravity came out. Good. Like, I saw that like 3 or 4 times in the theater. Yeah. I just become wrapped up with these movies.
Oh, yeah.
Interstellar is that. It's just, I loved it. Like, I loved it so much. And luckily, I brought this comedian, Jeffrey Baldinger.
Okay.
He came with me. And he had to explain so much of the movie to me. But, like, after he did, like, I was like, oh, I like this. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, and that.
Oh,
and it just. It's just got layers, man. It's a smart, it's a smart action adventure thriller. You know, fantasy.
I felt every emotion watching it.
Exactly. I teared up. I laughed a little.
I got pissed off. I got angry. I teared. I laughed a couple times.
Had an unexplainable boner. Tell me more about this wormhole.
Funny times. That voice you hear, ladies and gentlemen, is none other, very funny comedian and creator and host of one of the best comedy shows in Los Angeles, the goddamn Comedy Jam.
Thank you.
You check it out. We'll talk about that later on, and he can plug and sell himself there. But that voice you hear is Josh Adam Myers.
I like how you said the name. Usually people don't go for the – like the, you really can milk a three-name name, you know what I mean? You can milk that a three, you know, but most people just blend the last two together. They go Josh Adam Myers, and I'm like, you piece of shit.
It's not hyphenated,
Adam Myers.
No, it's not. I don't want to be Josh Adam Myers.
Mr. Adam Myers.
I want to be Josh Myers, but Bobby Lee said I can't because there's a guy named Josh Myers already.
Oh,
and this was
you can just shorten it. Go by Jam.
That's my jam.
Actually, the first time I ever signed up for an open mic back in Washington, D.C., I signed up as J-Money.
J-Money, you're next.
Yeah, but it was just the J and the money symbol. That's what it was. It was
J-Dollar sign coming up next, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that was it. And I failed miserably.
I feel like that, you know, you have to do that at your first open mic. You need that. Horrific, humbling experience.
Actually, the first one, I feel, isn't that bad for people. I don't think people realize how, because anything is, any reaction, if you get a chuckle,
it's good.
It's, you don't know what to base it off of. So the first open mic, I actually thought I did really well, considering.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the second one, I was like, well, I didn't get that one laugh, you know, that I'm supposed to get. Like, it was the second, that's when you really, once you get like a month and you realize how bad you really are.
Oh, yeah.
But the first few, you're actually like, dude, you ever watch like people's, like, they do the bringer shows and they post their videos. Oh. Like, I've seen these, like, there's this thing of like these bunch of like models recently have been doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I want to fuck all of them.
Of course.
So I watch their videos. Yeah. So I
go to open mics,
hey,
dude. Go to open circle.
Oh, I can't. I had sex with a lot of comics early on, and now I won't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I have that rule. Like, I don't want to mix that.
But, like, you're watching, you'll see these girls. This is, like, the first time I've ever been on stage, and they post the video, and they fucking crush, man. Yeah. Like, they crush. And it just makes me mad. But
are they really, are they crushing, or is it just all the guys in the audience laughing?
Like a
because,
stacked audience?
Yeah,
of course it's stacked with their friends
huge
and everything.
Yeah.
But I brought friends to
And they're all dressed like super hot too. Like, it's like.
Oh, yeah. But that's, you know.
So dress like a model
yeah.
and have supportive friends. Yeah, that's all you need. That's
I try to make myself uglier so yeah. I can yeah. so I can do better on stage.
Every yeah. time I go out on stage, I'm wearing an Eddie Murphy's leftover fat suit. Just a white face, but a black fat suit body.
Black fat suit body, white face. I like it. Josh, as our listeners know, and as you know, we like to start off every episode with the guests providing either a fun fact about themselves or something they learned recently. And I believe you said you have a good fact that you wanted to share.
Well, being that I had a lot of time to think about this, meaning you called me 40 minutes ago and said, hey, man, Ron Funches can't make it today. Can you do the podcast? So the fact that I've got that because you have to know me and you know the kind of person that I am, and I think what people perceive me as is kind of like this dirtbag, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I have a creamy center, and there's my favorite movie of all time, which I saw in 1997 or 96, whenever it came out. Still my favorite movie to this day is Babe.
Okay.
Babe, Pig in the City.
No, not Babe, Pig in the City. That's part
two. That's part two?
The original Babe.
The original Babe, 95, and that actually, I think it won an Oscar.
It won for, like, special effects, but yeah. It was nominated for Best Picture, starring James Cromwell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was.
The Crom.
The Crom.
Jimmy Crom's. That's Ginny Crom's on deck.
This reminds me of the scene from Conan the Barbarian. You know how he's yeah. like obsessed. Crom. Like, it wasn't James Earl Jones. It's actually James Cromwell. It's yeah. who he's praying to. Yeah, it's my favorite movie. I still to this day, I watch it. I cry at the end every single time I watch it. I stopped eating pork for 6 years because
oh, wow.
of that movie.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
James Cromwell, if I get my facts correct. I think he died recently, right? Then he
no.
also no, no he's
did
alive.
He?
No,
no,
no he's
he
alive. He
didn't die.
Won.
He's Jeez. Still
okay.
killing it.
He's still like he's
Jesus
still
Christ. You can't
no.
do that to
yeah.
a
well, I'm confusing someone else that looks similar like him died. Or oh, of course he didn't die. He was just on Big Hero 6. But anyways, he there was an I think he was on like Star Trek or something, right? There was I'm trying to find my facts, but
he was on Star Trek Enterprise.
The maybe that was it. He was
he was on Next Gen as well.
Yes, he was on both of them then, right?
Are you guys just both just looking at IMDb?
We're looking,
I'm
right
looking
now.
At him now. Just
I'm trying to figure
reference.
Out because there was a on the Emmys this year or on the Oscars. They said some weird trivia when he was walking up to present or whatever. They're like, he was on this and this.
He won an Emmy in 2013 for American Horror Story Asylum.
Yes. What I loved about that moment right there when I said James Cromwell and both of you rushed your computers, the sense of urgency both of you had was like you were trying to report election results. Like you guys were like, oh wait, and
70%
it's coming
of the
right
reporting in the Crom is trending in your area.
It's
and
coming
the house
in right
is taking
now, everyone.
It.
James Cromwell currently recording yeah. the trails of Kate McCall. Come on.
Wait, I have a quick. I looked up the page for Babe because I was curious yeah. what year it came out. Do you know how much Babe? What do you know? Have any idea what Babe's budget was?
Oh shit! Hold on. I'm allowed to cuss on this because I've done.
Yeah,
it much.
Fuck
okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay,
yeah.
good. Just because neither of you have
shit. Yeah.
Fuck. Cunt.
Sweet. Okay. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Motherfucker. Tits fart.
All right, guys, we're talking about.
Is that Blink 182 is not what? No, it's
but.
Not. Well, it's also George Carlin's.
Did you cover Blink 182?
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say it's. All right, let's look at what it was shot in New Zealand, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
One main actor, Jim Henson Studios. They got to cost some money to use. George Miller writing and producing. Some other dude directing. I forget the guy's name, but.
Directed by Chris Noonan.
Chris Noonan. The Noon.
The Noon and the Crom together
the
at
Noon
last.
And the Crom. And by the way, I want to do answer the budget thing, but I went to a screening, an advanced screening last May of the new Mad Max movie.
Oh,
that's
really?
Coming out.
How is it?
I'm obsessed with Mad Max. That's like my
yeah,
favorite
so
trilogy. This is the best one.
Right.
It's that good.
The trailer
wait,
looks so good.
The
dude.
Trailer that came out at Comic-Con blew my socks off.
It's
like,
three car chases. That's all it is. It's three action sequences, barely any dialogue. It is the shit. If you just, to be honest with you, it's like if there's, I think it's going to make a lot of money because I think it's going to get great reviews.
Oh yeah,
and I think Tom Hardy is the perfect, you yeah. know, and Charlize Theron. She, that's how you're saying it. She's
yeah.
the shit. And it's just perfect. It's just a great summer movie, and yeah. he did it right. So, but I met George Miller. George Miller was there at the theater, sitting in the back, and I went up to him and I was like, "Dude, thank you for Babe." And he was like, "You're welcome." Yeah, I'm gonna can't do an Australian accent, but he was like, he smelled great too. He smelled like patchouli. All right, I'm gonna say 45 million.
45 million, Razzle. What do you think?
I have not looked.
Okay,
I'm gonna say because.
Actually, far less, dude. Far less. I'm way off. I'm thinking honestly 12.
12?
I'm gonna say, because some of those movies you think that actually have a huge budget, and just knowing with Ann, I'm gonna say 80 million.
80 million? 180? No, it's $30 million.
Oh wow!
Fuck, and it made you said 45, then 12.
I said 12.
So if you like just subtracted that.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Do you guys have any idea how much it made at the box office?
400
worldwide.
Let me go to Box Office Mojo just to double check this, make it more official. I was on Wikipedia.
I'm gonna say in America it made 65 million.
In America, very close. 63 million domestic. Worldwide, $254 million.
I feel like it would have made more than
that. Dude,
63 million domestic, so it already doubled its budget domestic, and then it made 190 worldwide.
Huh. I mean, that's still good. That's still awesome.
That's probably
keep in mind, this is 1995 dollars.
Yeah.
That means today it would be, how much would it be adjusted for? I don't understand how the dollar
$20
works
today.
All I know is that when you go adjusted for inflation, like Gone with the Wind made like $25 trillion.
Yeah, exactly. It's the most profitable thing of all time.
Yeah.
Star Wars made a bazillion gillion.
It came out in 1995.
You know what's funny? I remember what happened with the movie was, my buddy went to go see it. This kid that was like really, we used to go to punk shows together. Mm-hmm, we used to go see Fugazi.
Nice.
He got me into like Minor Threat and Bad Brains and all that stuff. We used to go to, my first job I ever had was at this rock club in DC, and he worked there with me, and he was just like a cool guy. And we watched movies together. Like when I saw Clockwork Orange, he had already seen it. We talked about it, and we saw Pulp Fiction together and this, that, and the other thing. And he came home one day from seeing a movie. We used to go because his dad was in India working, and so him and his mom would go see movies all the time by themselves. And he came back and he was like, "Dude, my mom wanted to see Babe. I didn't want to see it. It was one of the best movies I've ever seen." And I was like, "This is from you. Like, it's somebody whose opinion I respected." So I was like, "All right." And to be honest, I don't think I actually saw it in the theater. What I did was, another fun fact, I had TMJ in my jaw, which is the misalignment of your jaw, which caused headaches. And I had a problem like eating like meats. If I ate steak at the dinner, because my family always ate meat, like we had old Jewish, you know what I mean? Everything we ate had meat and potatoes on it and lots of fat. You know, if there wasn't any fat, they'd be like, "Can we get more fat? Like, can you make this deckle brisket with more fat?" Like,
excuse me.
So that was, so when I used to try to eat meat, like it was just really bad. So I'd had jaw surgery my senior year of high school. And it was really serious. They cut my whole jaw out and corrected it and put some screws in and cut some bones out. And my mom rented movies every day for me. She stayed home for the first week, I think, that I was in the hospital, after I got out of the hospital. And so she rented Babe. And I think I watched it every day. And that was it. I stopped eating pork. And I had worked at an Outback Steakhouse at that time well.
Of course.
So there was a lot of ribs. And I didn't know that the ribs they saw, I thought they were, I was like, I ate all these ribs. And they're like, "You know, that's pork." And I was like, "I thought they were beef ribs." Like, I just was so, I was so upset that, because me and my buddy started the kosher pact after that. But he didn't do it because of Babe. He just did it because he always wanted to one-up me. But
yeah.
I got six years without eating pork.
James Cromwell was a vegetarian, and after starring in the movie, he became vegan because of he was so moved by the process.
Here's the Star Trek fact about James Cromwell.
What is the difference between vegetarian and vegan?
Vegetarian, you can still have like milk and eggs and stuff like that. Where it's like vegetarian is like no meat, whereas vegan is no animal products or byproducts.
Correct. Like,
so like, you wouldn't have honey.
Vegans won't.
You won't have honey
because it's a byproduct of bees.
Yeah, or vegans won't even eat Starburst because they use gelatin in Starburst.
And what's in a gelatin?
Like horse hooves.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Delicious.
Are you kidding?
Fruit flavored.
You're kidding, right?
Horse hooves.
No, Aristotle's a vegan and he doesn't eat Starburst.
You can't. That's
every,
got
every day I'm like, Aristotle, what will it take to get you to eat this Starburst?
Are you kidding? It's horse hooves?
Yeah,
it's gelatin.
Yeah.
It's
really,
yeah, it's
and they're serving that to America.
Like Jell-O,
Bill Cosby loves horse hooves.
So Jell-O, Jell-O is Jell-O's horse hooves?
Yeah. Yeah, gelatin. I mean, I'm Jell-O. As like, there's gonna like it. Just Jell-O goes out of business.
Interesting fact about Josh Adam Myers: had no idea about gelatin being horse hooves.
Yeah,
that's bigger than fucking Babe.
Yeah.
That. Oh my God.
Gelatin.
I love Starburst.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat Secretariat. Like this
is okay. They wouldn't sell. They wouldn't use Secretariat.
I like horses
Starburst.
Too.
You're eating.
God, that's, I'm never eating a Starburst
like,
again.
You're eating like National Velvet.
You're eating Seattle Slough. Not
fuck. Barbarossa. Fuck.
What are the other ones? Seattle Slough.
I was there when that happened.
And mind that bird.
Mind that bird.
Yeah. So basically, the production of the way they produce gelatin, they boil bones, skins, and hides from cows and pigs. That releases collagen from the animal tissue. The collagen is then boiled and filtered numerous times, dried and ground to a powder, and then it's processed extensively to the point where it's not categorized as meat or an animal product by the federal government. But a lot of people, to them, it's still at its core an animal product. It's still like...
It's like 2014 and they don't have a fake gelatin yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do they not have like a... substitute that's just pure chemical bad for you.
I thought it was just sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's mostly sugar. It's mostly sugar and like horse souls.
Oh my God. And it's so good.
Gelatin is
it's forbidden fruit.
It's so good.
Gelatin,
man, that's fucked up.
From Latin for gelatus, meaning stiff or frozen.
Meaning delicious horse meat.
Don't tell me what's because I don't want you guys to let's not talk about nougat because I don't want to know what's in nougat.
It is
nougat is Guatemalan orphan.
It's a Guatemalan orphan.
It's found in most gummy candies, marshmallows, ice cream, some ice creams, dips, yogurts.
Nougat's pretty innocent. It's like sugar, honey, egg whites.
Are you looking that up right now? Or you just know that.
I knew sugar, honey, and egg whites. So I'm looking up the rest. Like chocolate, obviously. usually like pistachios, stuff like that.
Baby chromosomes. Yeah.
And stem cells.
According to Wikipedia here, there's a nice little pie chart. Materials used in gelatin product. Or materials used in gelatin production, 27% bones, 28% bovine hides, 44% pig skin, and 1% other. Whatever that 1%
is. Ooh.
God.
It's always good to have a little mystery in your life.
Yeah, a little mystery.
I'm a little upset.
A little mystery
now.
In your mouth. Yeah. Well, going back to the good, like the not discomforting part about animals.
Yes.
Babe, obviously, very inspirational, helpful pig. We got a fact here. United Airlines, you know, a lot of times you see people on there, they're allowed to bring their service dog on the plane with them. They're always, like, way better behaved than my dog. They seem
what do you
very
have?
Friendly. I have a little Papillon Terrier mix.
Yeah. Are you a dude?
I am a dude.
That's was a Papillon. Isn't that like a little?
I don't know. It's the fucking. It's got big ears.
Oh, they're so.
That's
cute.
What the vet told me.
That was me trying to be a jerk. But you know what? I have a fucking a miniature pincher, so I can't.
So you got a min pin?
Yeah,
you got a little min pin.
I got a little min. I have that's his paw right there.
Oh, it's adorable.
On me. Jazz, big fan of small dogs.
Yeah, it's nice because eminently scoopable. If she's being a little jerk, just nope. Now you're in the sky.
Small poops.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like she opened a portal to another dimension and just shit poured out.
Yeah.
But back to the point at hand, United Airlines. In addition to dogs, you're allowed to bring miniature horses, monkeys, cats, and birds as service animals as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they service animals and emotional
miniature.
Support.
Miniature
animals,
horses.
On an airplane?
Yeah.
Yep. The animal type are psychiatric, emotional, or comfort animals.
This is my comfort horse.
As nowadays in 2014, you can, you know, you, for emotional support, you can take those.
And you know the best part about bringing...
Accepted on any flight, regardless of whether the flight accepts pets in the cabin.
But you know the best part about bringing a miniature service horse with you is if you crash somewhere, you've got Jell-O already.
Yeah. which is interesting that there's, you know, dog, miniature horses and monkeys and even birds, but rodents, reptiles, snakes, and ferrets are not allowed. Like
no
like,
bats.
Like no. Like what is? How come a ferret, but yet you can have a monkey?
Because listen, 99% of people that own ferrets probably scumbags.
I don't know. I've seen Beastmaster, and he was not a scumbag.
He was a Beastmaster.
He was a Beastmaster. speaking of airlines. This ties in a little bit of music here. Josh, we mentioned you host and created a comedy show here in Los Angeles called The Goddamn Comedy Jam. It's for those obviously listening that don't know about it. Most of you probably don't. But it's a very fun comedy show. It's got comedians. They do a set of stand-up comedy, then they sing a song. This next fact ties in with the airlines and songs. Rush. Josh, are you a familiar fan?
Of course.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Rush.
19-minute organ solo.
I didn't like them for a very, very long time. Is this moth going to
a moth. We have a little Mothra in the studio right now.
Mothra. It's a Rush fan, by the way.
Yeah.
The moth. No, I didn't like them for a long time, and now I really, really like Tom Sawyer. Is such a great song. Mm-hmm. It's just. I thought what is his name?
Geddy Lee.
Geddy Lee's voice was so horrible, and now I'm like, I used to make fun of it. It was just donga dee and donga doo.
I mean, his voice is still pretty bad, but Neil Peart's pretty good at the drums. He has way
I
too
think
many.
He's okay at the drums.
I feel like my beef with Rush was always like, I get it, you got a lot of drums. You learn how to use a small amount of drums and still be just as good.
But I have more.
How many?
There's bongos in my bongos.
It's like Neil Peart is the Ice Cube or what is that with the ice? Who's that guy? That meme? Yo, dog.
Oh, Exhibit.
Like, Exhibit.
Yo, Neil dog. I heard you like snare drums, so I put a snare drum on your snare drum. Is this hat high enough for you?
But anyways, the Rush song YYZ. YYZ is the airport identification code of Toronto Pearson International Airport in Canada there, near Rush's hometown. And the intro is YYZ in Morse code. So it's something like that. That's YYZ.
Playing,
They're playing. The whole song is pretty much just Morse code for the airport code.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just YYZ in Morse code.
There's a whole other verse that got dropped about how the Orange Julius in Terminal B is, like, the best.
And Morse code.
That's a lot of Morse. That's some, like, interstellar Morse right there.
Some fun facts about airport codes here. Airport codes arose out of the convenience that it brought pilots for location identification in the 1930s. Initially, pilots in the United States used the two-letter code from the National Weather Service for identifying cities. This system became unmanageable for cities and towns without an NWSN identifier. Thus, the three-letter system of airport codes was implemented. Many used the first three letters of the city and or combination of municipal areas. Supposedly, the opening Y signifies a Canadian weather reporting station with a land air terminal in the olden days. Marine Air Terminal would have been signaled with a Z in Canada there.
So if you're trying to land in Canada, you know, just look for the letter Y. You'll know it's land.
Yeah.
Or just land anywhere. It's pretty wide open. There's a lot of expanses.
I'm just looking. There's more Canadian airport code facts, but
who needs it? Who needs it, Canada?
Nothing Neil Pertinent.
Who needs it?
Who needs it?
That was good.
Yeah.
Neil Pertinent.
Neil Pertinent. God damn it.
Puns. Fun stuff. Here's something that I thought was interesting. Josh, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Fuck. I haven't thought about that in a long time. Gotta go with Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus. Okay.
Boom.
Boom.
Very relevant.
Very relevant. That's awesome. Okay. The spikes on this is what I'm getting at here. The spikes on the end of the Stegosaurus's tail are called Thagomizer, after a Far Side cartoon by Gary Larson.
I fucking love Far Side.
Yeah. The term Thagomizer was coined by Gary Larson in humor in a 1982 Far Side comic strip in which a group of cavemen in a faux modern lecture hall are taught by their caveman professor that the spikes on a Stegosaurus's tail are named after the late Thag Simmons. the term was.
I remember that one.
It's like, and this is called Thagomizer in honor of Thag Simmons. The term was picked up initially by Ken Carpenter, a paleontologist at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, who used the term when describing a fossil at the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology annual meeting in 1993. Thagomizer has since been adopted as an informal anatomical term and is used by the Smithsonian Institution.
Congratulations, Gary Larson. You've done it.
You made history.
The Thagomizer.
And the Stegosaurus also had a brain roughly the size of a walnut. They had an unusually small brain as far as dinosaurs went, about the size of what a dog's brain is today.
I thought, didn't all dinosaurs have like small brains?
A lot of them did, but the Stegosaurus, more so than others, had said like it's considered to be unusually small for its size.
Of course I picked the fucking stupid dinosaur.
But it's got that sweet Thagomizer on its tail.
You kind of put me on the spot there. Like, really know. Audiences, I really don't have a favorite dinosaur. And if I did,
like, all
I
the Dilophosaurus are like, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, all right, let me think about that. Let's think about the best dinosaurs, judging by what we know from the movie Jurassic Park.
Yes.
The spitting ones, which were what?
Dilophosaurus, right?
Oh, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
They killed Newman.
I like, you know which ones I like? I like the cute ones that run up to that little baby in the second one.
Oh, the compies?
Yeah.
Is that them?
Don't they, and then they eat it, right? They eat the baby?
I don't remember.
Yeah, they eat the little girl on the beach.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I only saw Lost World once, and then I was like, this is, you know.
It's like Comsognathus, but they call them compies for short.
You guys are fast, man, on your
I just remembered it was compy, and I was like, what the fuck does this stand? I remember it was something hard to pronounce.
Stegosaurus, according to Wikipedia, means roof lizard or covered lizard.
Hey, roof lizard.
Reference to its bony plates.
And it's the state dinosaur of Colorado back in 1982, roughly around the same time that Gary Larson coined the term Thagomizer. The governor of Colorado signed a bill making Stegosaurus the official state dinosaur after a two-year-long write-in campaign from thousands of fourth-grade students. And it's another interesting fact. They've discovered a huge number of dinosaurs in Colorado. It was a big spot for paleontological digs. They discovered the Allosaurus, the Apatosaurus, and the Ornithomimus, some sort of bird thing, and Mimus at the end.
Would you go, if Jurassic Park was real, would you go?
Hell no.
Knowing there's, but like, because I think that would, like, there's like a 60% chance they'll escape. You, like, if you go, it's like,
I would go.
60%
hell
chance.
Hell no.
I would go, because dinosaurs fascinate me.
They fascinate me, but I'll watch a fucking documentary. I'm not dying on that.
I know how to stand still.
I'm not dying on Ila Nublar.
What's Ila?
The visual acuity, that's where Jurassic Park is. Yeah.
Okay.
The visual acuity is based on movement.
I guess if there were, you said 60% chance.
60% chance
that they will escape.
There's 40% that they won't, though.
4 times out of 10, you'll be fine.
How
6 times out of 10,
how many days has it been open?
You're super dead.
It's been open for 6 months.
6 months.
And it still hasn't.
Who?
It hasn't gone bad yet.
No way then.
There's 60% chance though.
Yeah, but it's that thing where you bring a Coke can, you get a ticket for $1. You get it, you buy a ticket for today, get a fast pass for the rest of the season.
I think I'd go. 60%, that's like a coin flip. That's still like
Can I have my own motorcycle on me on the island at all times?
You can bring a weapon of your choosing.
You can bring an 8x10 glossy photo of Jeff Goldblum.
A weapon of my choosing. And
it can be any kind. You
like a laser gun.
Yes, if that's what makes you happy.
You
to
would
make
still
this.
Get fucking eaten, even if you had a laser gun.
Neutrons, hurry up, charge! Charge, neutrons!
While you're blasting the raptor, while you're blasting a raptor in front of you, two more coming from the side, they've probably already stolen the other laser guns and learned how to use them.
Dude, I'd go to like the alien planet. You know what I mean? Like the ones from the movie Alien. Oh my god,
from
dude!
From 2?
I would.
You'd go to that shithole?
I would, dude. That's like my favorite world in movie history. Like, is that whole like alien? Oh my god! I even loved Prometheus. I enjoyed it.
It was fun.
Loved Prometheus. Yeah. Actually, I ran into there was like five comics watching. It was like Hampton Yount, Eli Olsberg, and I don't know if you guys remember Justin Schlegel.
Okay,
so they were all we all went opening night. I didn't go with them, but we all ran into each other there, and like. Like, only me and Schlegel were the only people that liked it. Like, everybody else was like, hated it. I was like, dude, that fucking world, man. I just love it, dude.
What's the name of the Weyland Corporation?
Weyland-Yutani.
Oh,
Weyland-Yutani Corporation.
Love them, dude.
Yeah.
I love how sneaky they are.
I love aliens. I love Alien, but Aliens for me kind of takes it because it's just more fun.
It's the shit, dude. Yeah. Aliens just is the best sequel of all time.
Yeah, eminently quotable. So I saw that on the ArcLight in the Cinerama Dome recently, like a year and a half ago, and it was just like perfect.
My favorite character isn't the probably the most popular, which would probably be Bill
Paul
Paxton.
Razzett?
No, it's Apone, Captain Apone, the black.
Yeah,
dude.
He's awesome.
He's chewing on a cigar.
Yeah, the whole time, like this guy's a
be
badass.
Like Bay 12, please. Like that's. He's my favorite character. Me and my roommate are obsessed with him, and we send each other. Actually, I probably got my phone right now. I probably got like 20 pictures of Apone sent to one another. Fun fact about Josh, he's obsessed with black sergeants and Apone.
Oral fixations.
But oral fixation with black guys with cigars in their mouth.
So you probably, you were a big fan of Apollo Creed and Predator then, huh?
Love them.
Yo, they are making a sequel spin-off of sorts called Creed.
Yeah.
About Rocky Apollo 6. Creed's grandson.
Yeah, and Rocky's gonna
played
be
by
Mickey.
Michael B. Jordan. Yeah, and Rocky Stallone is gonna play he's gonna play the trainer.
So really?
Yeah.
He milked that motherfucker till it's dead. Milk it.
I love Michael B. Jordan, but that bummed me out. I'm like, this is such a waste of time for him.
He's Johnny Storm, though.
Dude, here's the deal, man. I respect Stallone. I think this is it, man. You know what I mean? You can't, people probably want to shit on him for doing this, but who cares? Because, you know what? You got one world. You got one life.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want. Because there are people out there that are enjoying it, probably. There are people that need to see more Rocky.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember seeing Rocky IV.
And it's his baby. From when he was a kid. You know, he created it when he was, 32 years old, 30 years old.
Fun fact about the Rocky franchise, not looking at anything, coming off the dome, y'all. Fun fact is that they offered him $1 million for the script, and he said, nah. And he goes, I want to star in it. And I think they gave him, $6.
Yeah, it was very little.
By the way, that fact might or might not be true.
He had a dog. I think they ended up only giving him $100,000 for it or whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Not
he was
bucks.
So poor, he had to sell his dog to survive to buy food or whatever. Then he ended up selling the script and making Rocky, and he ended up going out and buying back his same dog.
From nice.
And a ferret.
Yeah. Sylvester Stallone just has a ferret room. This is perfect.
But yeah, I mean, shit on him all you want, but in the end, it's like, if you created something when you were a kid and it's got so many accolades for it and everything, and then now you're 70 years old and you don't need any more money, but you still want to create and make fun things in that same world, go make 10 more.
I feel like though, I respect what he's done. I just feel like it's almost like shoehorning himself in there at this point. Like, tell a story about another young boxer.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, they are.
In the Rockyverse.
Well, they are. They're telling a story about Apollo Creed's grandson.
Yeah, but no. But he's like, it's me, Rocky. I'm going to train you.
Yeah.
But this is a fun fact that I just confirmed because I remembered this burned into my brain from when I was a kid growing up in the Boston area at the local cinema. They always had the same, 8 cinema fun facts that ran before every movie.
Bruce Willis. Oh, no.
No, it's about Stallone. What the fuck? Stallone, before he broke big as an actor, he used to make money cleaning out lion cages at the Central Park Zoo. Hmm. Yeah.
Even more badass than he was before.
Apparently the lion pissed on him.
Oh, there we go.
I like Stallone, man.
Yeah.
Stallone.
Oh, of course.
I like him, you know?
He's a...
There are people that are, obsessed with the Expendables.
I mean, they're fun movies. I'm not going to lie.
There's people they're like, Expendables 2 is my favorite movie of all time.
When are we going to get Frasier in there, Expendables 3?
Yeah.
What about Niles?
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
I can't wait. Expendables 4, Jerry Seinfeld. Just like, oh man.
I mean, they're just gonna
keep going until they run out of room on the poster.
Who's the? I was trying to think of the guy. Who is the teacher in Head of the Class? Remember him? He was also in WKRP in Cincinnati. I was trying to say his name to reference him. Not Harry Hamlin. But I wanted to say that. I wanted to say that name, but I can't. My reference bank. I ate a cheeseburger earlier, so I'm all kinds of fucked up right now, man.
Harry Hamlin. There's a name I haven't heard in years.
Interesting fact. Does that do that to y'all guys?
Charlie Moore.
Is that his name? The guy with the mustache, and he's like he played like the radio DJ.
No, that was the character's name. Howard Hessman.
Howard Hessman. What did I say? Harry Hamlin.
Yeah, he had the double H. You were there.
I was there, but Harry Hamlin is the guy that was in Clash of the Titans.
He was in L.A. Law. Yeah. He was Clash of the Titans. He was.
That's him. Howard Hessman. That's who I wanted.
Hold on. Was he the star of Clash of the Titans?
Yes, he was.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that? Like, that's when that was the shit. I remember my parents used to rent that for me. I thought that was Boss, you know, special effects back then.
Yeah, there was that little gold owl.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was.
Harry Hamlin. He's Jim Cutler on Mad Men?
Yeah, dude.
Holy cow.
I don't watch Mad Men, though, but
I do, and now I'm just realizing who he is.
Jim Cutler's the Mad Man.
Yeah.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's the angry one.
Yeah, now I'm just realizing that.
That's all the show is. It's just like, gosh!
No! Well, I actually, I feel better now.
Yeah. That's how the show ends. That's the finale. Yeah. It's just... And breathe deeply.
They're all happy.
Oh my goodness!
I feel much better now.
Do you guys ever do that? Does that ever happen to you though? Like where you're
mad?
I'm mad
as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
Where you're watching either like a current show or something like that, or you see a new movie and there's like an old actor in there, and you're like, oh, that's whatever. And then all of a sudden, like later on, you realize he was a younger, like he was the star of like a older movie that you haven't seen him in so long, and that he's aged so different.
Going back to the Mad Max movies, do you want to know a little fact about it? Have you guys both seen Mad Max, the original?
Of course, not
Road Warrior, the one before that.
People forget about Mad Max and how it wasn't a post-apocalyptic movie, and it was just in the future with weird cars and the countryside.
This guy having a terrible day.
A police officer in Australia.
Do you remember the bad guy in that one? The guy who's kind of like, remember he like eats the ice cream cone of his wife?
Yeah.
That he's like the bad guy in the first one. He's the bad guy in this one.
Oh.
You wouldn't know it.
That's cool.
In the new one, but this character is fucked up, dude.
That's pretty cool.
It's, dude, I'm telling y'all. Dude, I can't wait to see it again. They have another screening of it.
Hold on. Are we? Because I've seen many screenings.
What
like
do you want to know? I'm not supposed to tell anything.
That's what I'm saying.
I could give a fuck. What are they gonna do? What are they gonna do?
You are not allowed to see this movie. How am I banned at every theater?
Nobody. I didn't sign. Maybe I did sign something, but I don't. I don't care.
I did the same thing with Tom Cruise's Edge of Tomorrow. Like 2 years ago, I seen it and it was awesome. And I'm like, I could not tell anybody how good it was. Like I just had to tell
someone. Like, you guys ask me anything, I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
Can you see Tom Hardy's dick?
And
balls, no dick. You see balls, no dick.
Do you see a little neck?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of dust?
Not as much as I'd like. They're going to add that in post.
Are there explosions?
Oh, man. It's nonstop awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I'm very excited that you say it's just a giant car chase, because that's what I loved about John Wick, is it knew what it was in the sense that it was just a revenge movie, and it was just John Wick seeking revenge and killing people. Like, it was essentially just a chase movie, only on foot, killing people.
That movie is awesome. 90% Keanu shooting dudes in the face.
That's what I heard. I gotta see it.
It's pretty fun. It's just like over-the-top action movie, good time.
And
like,
it knows what it is. It's not trying... It's like, have you seen Dread, the new Dread movie?
Oh, so good.
It's literally just a shoot 'em up in order. Like, they're trying to get from the top of the building to the bottom of the building, It's you know, the, point A to point B and kill someone.
Yeah, Dread. Yeah. It's that Asian
raid.
Movie. It's
the Raid.
The Raid.
Yeah, it's the Raid, but with Dread now.
With Carl Hess. Not yeah. Carl Hess. That's the comedian.
Carl Hess. That would be hilarious.
Shout out to Carl Hess.
Yes. Carl, we're going to kickstart
with
this.
His Errol Flynn mustache now.
That's so funny. Yeah, he has that. Like, I can his little mustache with under the Dread helmet.
Oh, man. Well, originally Stallone in Dread.
Yeah.
But going back to your point about seeing an actor in something, you know, they were much younger in another role. It's sort of a tangent from that. Mark Hamill in the new Star Wars is the same age as Alec Guinness was in A New Hope.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
Obi-Wan, yeah.
Did they just released like some teaser for it, didn't they?
They released the title and a logo.
But no, I saw something where they showed a bunch of shots. Dude, maybe I'm wrong. I did see something today. Maybe it's fan made, but
I think some stuff is like leaked. There have been a lot of leaks from the set, yeah. But I'd say that they're definitely going to put out a trailer in the next month or so.
Ooh, man!
Because right around the holidays, it'd be foolish not to,
even though it comes out next Christmas.
Yeah, the excitement's at a fever pitch. They need to kind of get out in front of it.
I remember when they dropped the trailer for Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Oh man, that shit was.
Misa's so excited.
No, but they didn't give you any of that. It was just like the build up music that like these things blowing
in
up
in a galaxy, jar away.
I went ape shit over that, and then I went to go see it on opening night, and I fell asleep. I was so bored with it.
I think this is a pretty good allegory for those movies. About 4 years after the fact, I opened up my refrigerator and found a can of Mountain Dew. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not. Popped it open, drank it, start feeling violently ill. I turn it around and realize that it was a Star Wars Episode I Phantom Menace Mountain Dew, and this was about 4 or 5 years after the movie had come out.
That's amazing. I'm excited for the new Star Wars.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Let's see here. I got something.
Let's talk about barber poles real quick.
Let's talk about barber poles.
So how many times have you been getting your hair cut and you're seeing, wow, look at that pole out front. Cool colors. What does it mean? Here's what they mean. The origin of the red and white barber pole is associated with what barbers used to do back in the day, which is bloodletting, which was historically a representation of bandages around a bloody pole. That was the white being wrapped around a bloody red pole. During medieval times, barbers would also perform surgery on customers, tooth extractions, put leeches on them to take out bad blood. So that way, like, if they were sick, the popular mode of thought used to be, oh, we'll take out the bad blood. That way it'll get the poison out of your body. In some parts of Asia, a red, white, and blue barber pole is used as a symbol for a brothel, though. Oh. Prostitution is illegal in many parts of Asia, and laws against it are often enforced only to the degree that public solicitations for it are sort of policed. But, you know, it's used as a euphemistic way of advertising a brothel because they're less likely to intervene if you have that sort of subtle code. But point is, don't ask your barber for a leeching unless you go to a weird barber. Got off the rails.
Yeah. I have nothing to add about that fact.
You want a fade, baby?
Cool.
You want a fade? What you need? Sideburns, cut, baby?
Let's bring graphic face back.
What you want, leeches?
You,
motherfucker, you definitely need leeches.
Yeah, I
hot date tonight. Get your leech on.
Leeches and
I'm going to fade you up with
rows.
A number two. You want to buy some DVDs?
frost the tips and leech my downstairs. Leech my asshole.
name my first comedy record.
Yeah, Leech My Asshole.
Leech My Asshole. That's so funny. Strippers leech their assholes.
Keep leeching. Stay leeching.
Stay leeching. While we're talking about some history here, I'm a huge fan of toast, as is most people in the world.
I'm not into toast.
I can't get on board.
It's like bread that's been warmed and crisped.
No, thank you. The toaster... before the development of the electric toaster, sliced bread was toasted by placing it in a metal frame or on a long-handled toasting fork and holding it near a fire or over a kitchen grill. Simple utensils for toasting bread over open flames appeared in the early 19th century.
God, it must have sucked to live before then.
The first electric bread toaster was invented by a gentleman by the name of Alan McMasters in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1893. So shout out to Alan, and thank you for that, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
And the first commercially successful electric toaster was introduced by General Electric in 1909, the GE Model D12, much like the DeLorean D12.
Right? Oh, you got it.
I saw a DeLorean the other night driving around Vineland at like 4 in the morning.
How fast?
Not fast enough, but I think I freaked it out because I slowed down and I started like putting my hand out like, yeah, like give it the thumbs up. And he got scared and he drove off because it was always kind of acting a little erratic. So
here's the deal: if you're driving a DeLorean, you better know you're gonna get shit from nerds everywhere.
I would love to have one. I would love to have one.
Well, they're very attainable now because there's so many companies that sell refurbished ones for like $20,000 or less than around there.
Really?
Yeah. No, I mean maybe $20 to $40, but you can get them old. I mean for fairly cheap. And then there are companies that do have refurbished parts and stuff like that.
But you also have to buy 300 VCRs along with it. They don't tell you that until you sign.
Fuck. That's so funny. What if that was the thing? Like you could buy this really cool thing, but you also had to find a storage unit. Like you had to buy X amount of beta tapes.
We have 300,000 copies of Eddie Murphy's Delirious on Betamax.
And The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
You need to take them off our hands.
I actually used to work for a Hollywood video in Baltimore, and I stole so much, but it was right before DVDs, so I have the best collection of VHS movies ever.
And so need this DeLorean.
Oh, dude, my parents still, my mom still has like boxes full of like videotapes that I'd take. Well, she didn't know that I took them. She just thought they gave them to me. But, I mean, I have the most... I have everything. Everything that came out in 1998. That was the year I worked there. All the hip movies. I got everything. I got, like, 3 copies of Godzilla.
Oh,
you know
Lord.
What I mean? Yeah, it was just to give you an idea of the year.
That fucking Puff Daddy song.
Yeah, I've got so many movies.
Hollywood Video was a... let's see here. It opened... In 1993, Hollywood Video, which operated 16 tours, became a public company. Where's the history here? Hollywood Video is a video rental store.
There were a lot of good movies that year.
It opened in 1988.
Like what?
Saving Private Ryan, Big Lebowski, There's Something About Mary, The Truman Show, Armageddon, Shakespeare in Love, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, A Bug's Life, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, The Prince of Egypt, Deep Impact, Blade, Enemy of the State, Rushmore. You've Got Mail, Rush Hour, Mulan.
It was our good year. But I think I was, because here I was I in college? That was
Babe Pig in the City came out that
year. Babe Pig in the City did come out that year. I remember that.
Listen to this. Listen. So Hollywood Video used to be it was a company or whatever, but this is just such a funny thing. To have a company like that be as big as it is at the time in its heyday. As of late 2011, the HollywoodVideo.com site has been relaunched by Amazon as an online blog.
Well, you know what? Fuck that company, because I used to have to wear a tux there.
Yeah, I remember that.
I had to wear a tux.
My cousin used to work at one literally 3 blocks from my house.
Really?
Yeah.
I had 2 managers that worked there. I want to describe both of them right now. One of them was a former gang member.
Okay.
White dude, but he was, you'd see this guy and you could those pictures of like, this is this person before meth and this is them like 5 months later. He looked like the 5 months later picture. missing teeth. And he was the one that told me to steal. Like, he was like, Josh, just, we're all stealing. Just take whatever you want.
Like, that's good management right there.
He would like, dude, he'd be like, yo, don't ring in. He's like, I'm hungry I want to go grab McDonald's. So don't ring in a few movies. Just free comp them, but give them the change of what they give you. And then we'll take that money out to register and get some McNuggets. We'll get a 40 piece. So there was him. And then we had the other manager that I always worked with on Sunday nights. I forget his name, but he was like this guy from Alabama who had this. He was like orange. Like this is like he had the strongest leathery George George, what's the guy's name? George, his son does stand-up comedy. The act, George Hamilton Tan.
Yeah, George Hamilton Tan.
And anytime he worked, because I used to always, when I worked, I used to put on Babe,
yeah,
Ghostbusters, and Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Because I knew if they ran, I was like, all right, if Back to the Future plays three times, then my shift's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, I always knew it so I could hear it. Same thing with Ghostbusters. But he wouldn't let me watch those. He would only, we'd have to watch Shania Twain live in concert.
Oh, Lord.
So it was just over and over, just, that don't impress me much.
I feel
so
like
what?
A woman.
So you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. Just over and over. All shift.
God.
Yeah, but he didn't let me steal. But I still did. I didn't steal from a lot of jobs. But yeah, when I was younger, I stole from a lot of jobs. I think everybody kind of did when
I
they
feel
were
like
younger.
That's yeah, a good penance, though, listening to Shania Twain live in concert.
I've paid for that. Yeah. I've paid for that in life. Trust me. There's it's another Shania. I actually kind of enjoy Shania Twain. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I wish she was still around. I don't know why she stopped fucking with music. But she got cheated on, and then that was it. She was
yeah,
just like,
she couldn't Taylor Swift her
like,
way back.
She's like, that impresses me. Like,
did not impress me.
She finally became impressed.
That
she was
depresses
like,
me much.
So you fuck my friend.
Yeah.
That depresses me much. Oh, Shania.
Oh, you produced Def Leppard's greatest album? That done. But all right. Goddamn. You mentioned those like meth photos or whatever.
Uh-huh.
There was a thing on the internet I seen the other day, and I'll show you guys this. But for the listeners at home, if you want to see like a funny photo, look it up. But it's a like a transgression of like years of like before, now, and then after meth, you know, those types of things. And it starts off with the dude from Game of Thrones, Jamie Lannister, and then it goes to Dennis Leary, and then it goes to Willem Dafoe, and it's so
no, funny. Yeah.
It's so funny.
It does look like
100%, dude. Like,
the ravaging effects of time.
Like, if you take the Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones and put him next to Willem
yeah,
Dafoe.
Yeah, Nikolai like, Coster-Waldau, too.
How do you say that guy's name?
Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
Wow.
Something like that.
Wow, I never knew how to say his name.
Yeah.
There's a J in there somewhere,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
You say it first.
Nichols?
Little Nicky.
Alrighty. Well, yeah, we're approaching our time, Josh. We want to thank you for joining
yeah,
the
thank
show.
You very much.
This was fun, man. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad I didn't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Not from this,
we are as
but
well,
from the burger
yes,
that I ate prior.
This is the part of the episode where you tell all about yourself.
Yeah, what do you got coming
you
up?
Got
where can people
on?
Find
what,
you on the World Wide Web?
My Twitter is at Josh Adam Myers. It's spelled M-E-Y-E-R-S for the listeners out there that didn't know. And we've got a YouTube channel for the Goddamn Comedy Jam. It's a great show. There's a lot of big things coming up with it. We're trying to get the videos out from the performances as fast as we can, but we just, you know, we're really trying to make them as good as possible. It's such a great, it's like my favorite thing in the world, man. Like
nice.
I got to combine my two favorite things it's just, every comic's been killing it, and it's just becoming this, it's not even a show. It's more of like an event.
Yeah.
And that's the way I want to keep it. Like, I don't want to, like, if the lineup's not right for a month, or if I don't feel like it's going to be up to par, I'm not going to do the show. Like, it's got to be this fucking, like, just got to be cool. Not cool. Yeah, I sound like such an old guy. I want to make sure it's cool. It's just got to be, it's just got
to
be
cool.
Every month has been just every time we do the show, it's the best night of my life.
Is there like a set schedule for the show?
We try to do it we try to do it on Mondays, just because Mondays seem to be, that's when everybody's in town. Not saying there's not a lot going on, but it's just like, because I started doing it with Burr, and Burr did the first couple, and now Burr's gotten really busy with, he's got two shows he's working on. But, you know, is now he's going to be wrapping his pilot, so he'll be back on again. And it's just the greatest thing. Like, if I could do this for the rest of my life, like, I'll be the happiest man.
That's awesome. And what's the YouTube channel?
Where can
I think it's just the goddamn Comedy Jam.
If so you just, people if you, just search that, they'll be able
Google,
to find it.
If you Google the goddamn Comedy Jam, you know, go to that, and then there's a YouTube channel. We've got a bunch of Burr's performances. We've got their interviews describing why they chose the song, and then we've got their performances. Some of them are great. Andrew Santino's doing. We got Andrew Santino up there doing Night Moves by Bob Seger. And it's just the greatest thing ever.
That's awesome.
But it's just weird, man. It's just like this. I came up with this idea a long time ago. I had no idea if it was going to work. And not only has it worked, but it's just so much fun.
Fantastic.
It's more fun than I've had doing anything. I'd rather be doing that than you know, watching Babe, which is tough.
That's that means a lot.
Like,
it's a fun show. I'll be honest. I've been to. I think everyone except two or everyone except one.
Nice.
And it's been really, really fun.
Crowds love it, dude. And now they're getting really into it where they're dancing. It's weird watching them. It's weird watching them dance to Ali Wong singing I Can't Go For That by Hall & Oates. It's really fucking cool. So check it out. The next one, if you're in L.A., the next one's on December 9th. It's going to be on a Tuesday this month. I can give you some of the lineup right now.
Absolutely.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We're waiting on one more. But we've got Roy Wood Jr., Rory Scovel, and Todd Glass
now. That's a hell of a lineup already.
And yeah, but we're going to be adding another big motherfucking name. I don't have no idea. Watch it. Be like, and coming up, Elaine Boozler, y'all. Which I would do 100%. If Rita Rudner, Elaine Boozler, or Paula Poundstone wants to sing a song, I 100% would love to have you.
Special performance by Harry Hamlin.
No, but it's going to be great. It's going to be great. The songs they already chose are terrific, so I'm really excited about it. I think to see Todd Glass, like, he's just it's going to be great.
You and know Rory, who you should... I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard to get it, but if you could get... Because I know...
Like, say it.
John Mayer would be... Because here's the thing. For a good 2 years, he dabbled in the stand-up circuit.
Guess what, baby? It's going to happen.
If you could get John Mayer...
Dude,
that'd be so... Or, like, I mean, just, you know, that'd be... I could get you Andrew WK next time he's in town, but
done.
He doesn't do stand-up.
We're going to get Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
100% we're going to get Dave Grohl.
I mean...
We're going to get Slash.
Yeah.
Like, this is what Burr called me the day after the second show and was just like, dude, he was like, this is the funnest thing I've ever done in my life. Thank you. So he talks about it on his podcast all the time, which is great. But he was like, dude, we're going to get John Mayer.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to get fucking this guy. He's like, we're getting Slash.
Yeah.
We're getting Slash. And we're going to. I mean, I don't know if he's going to do stand-up, but if Slash sits in and plays.
Hell, if he just talks for like 10 minutes as well.
I could probably get you Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals.
Oh, is she still?
Oh, yeah. She was on our show.
Yeah.
Like,
she's great.
Months ago.
She's awesome.
Is she still,
yeah, she's still playing.
She's still performing,
adorable.
Yeah.
She's still performing and playing and everything, yeah.
I definitely want Engelbert Humperdinck. Just like that name. I want him. But yeah, it's just, if we get him, we get him. Either way, it's like, to carve a path in this funky town, you know what I mean? And to find something that you're like excited about.
Yeah.
This is just, regardless if it never, like, we're making moves to take it bigger than just a live show.
Yeah.
But if this is what if I can, you know, just pay my bills and start a family doing this show and taking this on the road, I'll be the happiest guy in the world.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It really is. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
So, really fun. And you know, I love that you keep coming, man. And
that's
it's
good.
Just
absolutely.
So please
tell
all the listeners, come.
Come. Everybody come.
On my face.
Yeah. And
at the show. At the show.
I'll tell you what, that RoboCop song was a very funny song, too. Like, you guys wrote that one. You guys, occasionally, will do originals up at time.
No, well, usually, what we do is, because I have a band. The band that I play with is called Element of P, but when we're together, we're Faceballs. I've been playing with these guys for 6 years. 6 years I've been playing with them, and we took a break for a long time. We used to have a show at the Unknown Theater where they were like the house band and they'd bring people on and off, and then we'd start doing originals, and then we moved to this shit when the Unknown shut down. We moved it here, actually, to Meltdown Theater, only on Sundays. We did like a month-long run. It never took off. The show, it just didn't do well here. And then we stopped doing it, and then I found a place out in Studio City called Marika's, which was run by this crazy bitch lady, and the show didn't work, but Adam Devine went up. He did his set, and then he just started singing the song with the band, and the crowd went crazy over. This is right at the beginning, right when he started Workaholics. Still wasn't huge, but just the crowd loved it. And that was when I came up with the idea. Skip ahead to 4 years later, where it wasn't until I got in touch with Burr and Burr decided to do the first show. That was when I was like, all right, we've got a big headliner. I got, you know, the guy that really wants to take this seriously. It's going to be fun. That now let's do it. And then we found the lyric and then it's just been off to the races. So yeah. We do originals. The whole plan is that every month we do a new original. We have the I Want to Fuck RoboCop. We have Two Jugs of Piss. And we have the main song that we get requested the most is AutoZone Fuck Slut, which is about the Mexican women that work at the AutoZone on Highland and how they want to fuck. And actually at my birthday party, I have these two groupies that made me an AutoZone Fuck Slut t-shirt.
Oh,
with like,
man, that's awesome.
And on the back, yeah, it's great. And we're writing new originals. We've got a new one coming out this next month, December 9th. And they're great. It's the best thing ever, dude. Like, I just want to do this forever. That's
awesome.
It. And it's I, like, go. So please help me do that.
Yeah. December 9th. December 9th in Los Angeles at the Lyric.
The goddamn comedy jam. Look it up. And guys, absolutely. If you want to find us on the internet, well, guess what? You can. You're in luck. You probably already went on the internet to find us in the first place. You want to find us on Twitter? The show is at TWL Podcast. If you want to talk to us individually, I am at Osteoferocious.
And I am at My Name is Razzle 2.
The number 2.
The number 2.
Yeah, not Dumb and Dumber 2. Not Dumb and Dumberto, as I cannot help but reading it.
Yeah.
And you can also email us if you have a fact or suggestion. You can email us at todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Today We Learn with Razzle and Dan.
Yeah. And once again, you know, give us a good review on iTunes. Tell your friends to listen to us. And we want to thank everybody for continuing to stick around. You know, all of our we keep hearing from all of our fans that have been around from the, you know, and the listeners from the beginning. And we appreciate it. We appreciate, you know, constantly hearing from you and seeing you guys tweet us. We've been having a lot more people tweet and retweet and post things about it. And we appreciate you on the Twitter sphere. And keep it up. And thanks. And as we want to give Aristotle, our producer, a big shout out again. Thanks again.
Yeah.
You can follow him at Aristakos on Twitter. And as always,
that'll do, pig. That'll do.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Josh.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.